Good morning once again. We have a tear-off section in the bulletin, so if you have any questions on the book of Daniel, again, if there are things that you haven't understood, there are things that I missed, there are things that you want me to repeat, please write them down, the tear-off section, and then next Sunday, we'll review the book of Daniel. So today we are in the last chapter, so please open up to Daniel chapter 12. We're going to see three things in the book of Daniel chapter 12. We see the great tribulation, and we see the resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous, one to glory, the other to destruction, and Daniel is encouraged that he has an inheritance, and we do all have an inheritance. We all have something we're going to inherit from the Lord. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for taking us through this book and teaching us, oh Lord. Thank you so much for shielding us from deception and from the lies of the enemy and those lies that are out there, Lord. Thank you so much for your spirit here guiding and leading us into all truth, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to grow as we eat upon your word, as not only our bones, but our hearts and our souls become healthier and firmly attached to you, O God. I pray that you may continue to do that. I pray that as we go through your word, that you transform us, O God. I pray that you make us just like yourself and you lead us to fulfill your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So the time reference here is the time, the last 3.5 years of this age. The last 3.5 years of the reign of that man called the Antichrist, who is really ruling and reigning on behalf of Satan. So at that time, in those 3.5 years, Michael, is the archangel, shall stand, shall protect that great prince who stands watch over Israel. So we have this archangel Michael. We've seen him through the Bible, through particularly this book. And his charge is to protect the nation of Israel. Now we know that God has assigned his angels to watch over us. And each one of us has protection as God does that through his angels. And when these 3.5 years become so disastrous, and we're going to see that in a minute, that God through this angel, powerful angel, Michael, protects the nation of Israel from destruction. And he says, at that time there shall be a great time of trouble, such as has never since there was a nation. This is the last 3.5 years. And the Bible refers to this in some places as the days of Jacob's trouble. And here, a time of trouble such as has never been in the history of the nation of Israel. This is the great tribulation that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24 as well. And at this time, in these 3.5 years, you know that the Antichrist has demanded worship. He has committed what the Bible referred to as the abomination that causes desolation, desecration of the temple, slaughtering a pig in the temple and demanding to be worshipped. And the Jews and the Christians, the believers of God, are going to say, no, you cannot do that, and we will not worship you. In fact, we will not take upon ourselves your mark, the 666 mark. So he pounces on them. He looks for them in every corner of the world to kill them. And as he's doing that, we're going to see this in Revelation when we study that book, that God is pouring down his wrath upon the Christ-rejecting world and upon all satanic forces. We're going to see those bold judgments, the seal judgments, unfold in the book of Revelation. And there's going to be so much chaos, so much trouble, so much death, so much bloodshed like has never been before. And through this great tribulation, God preserves his people. Amen. So sometimes you get worried, like, okay, so will I have to go through all that pain and all that trouble and all that destruction? Will I be able to even survive it? The good news for us to believe is that if that happens and we're still here, God will secure us. God will watch over us. And even if we are harmed physically and we are destroyed, our souls are safe. We get transferred from this earthly body to the heavenly one. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, Jesus said, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has never been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." This is the fullness of God's wrath and the fullness of God's protection over his children too. Now, we've seen a lot of trouble through the history of Israel. Right from when they were instituted, when God called Abraham, they have always been fighting enemies. Their brothers became enemies. The Edomites became enemies. When they were making their way back to the promised land from Egypt, they encountered so many enemies, the Amalekites, the Gagashites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. And later on, when they were established there, they had to fight off all the others. The Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, the Romans, the Greeks would torment God's people. Nevertheless, God would protect them. Under the Romans, the nation, the city of Jerusalem would completely be destroyed. And the nation of Israel actually scattered until 1948. From AD 70 to AD 1948, there was no nation, you can imagine. You look for Israel and it was not there. And that's why some people still refer to it as Palestine. Not Palestine, it's Israel. Until it was born again in 1948. And that was after 3 years of what we call the Holocaust. Over 6 million Israelites killed in Europe, especially in Germany. And the nation of Israel still suffers a lot of persecution from its neighbors. Nevertheless, God protects them. If you read about the Six-Day War, when all those Arabic nations wanted to swallow up Israel, in just 6 days, they called for a ceasefire. They gave up. They lost. Imagine, can one country beat six countries? Very tiny nation, by the way. At that time, they were probably just about 7 million. And the Arabs are so many all around them. But God gave them victory. And we see here that this is going to be the final trouble that these nations and these satanic forces try to put on the nation of Israel and on Christians. But no way, they will not succeed. Because God promised us through Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." God said, "I make this promise, I'll never break it. And I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to be the God of your descendants." And God would repeat this to almost everyone he called, including us. He is our God, and he is constantly watching over us. And it's not something that is going to expire. The Bible says here that it is everlasting. We even start to think about how long everlasting is, we stop thinking. Our brains freeze. Start to think about time in the future that has no end. Our brains are too small. We cannot accommodate that. And God is going to keep his promises to us to the very end. And in verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame, and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away to righteousness, turn many rather to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. So we've seen briefly the great tribulation. Now we see the resurrection. In the final, probably the final week of this great tribulation, you know what happens? The enemy is weakened, God's people preserved, and Jesus returns. His second coming. Riding on a white horse with thousands of his saints, that would be us, and coming down to reign and rule with him there in Jerusalem, and before effecting his righteous rule, everybody's going to appear before him for judgment. Now, we don't have to be worried of God's judgment. The judgment that was supposed to be upon us was poured on Christ. Those who reject Jesus have to be afraid of this, because all of us will appear before Jesus Christ there. All of us will come back to life in our physical bodies. And it says here that those who are righteous, who have received the righteousness of Christ to everlasting beauty and glory forever and ever, and those who have rejected him, they're going to be cast away with the devil to the lake of fire to burn forever and ever. So you don't even have to be afraid of God's judgment. The judgment that we're going to receive is the one of reward. Right? How much reward do you have with the Lord? And that is based upon how we serve him here on earth. We are justified. His punishment is taken by Jesus Christ. He will reward us according to how well we have served him here. And that should be a motivation for us to serve really well, to keep our priority on the Lord and everything else set away. And he says here that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So those of us who have been called, you Christian, you have been called to turn away many from darkness to light, from unrighteousness to righteousness. That is your mission. I hope you're aware of that. When God washed our sins away, when we believed in him, he gave us one thing to do. Just go and turn as many as you can to the light. And he says there are those ones, the Bible refers to us as wise, those ones will keep shining. Shining like the planets, like the sun. Forever and ever. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Right? That we are those who shine so bright in darkness that many are drawn to him. Many are drawn to his truth. And I hope that even right now as we speak, as you're sitting there, you are shining. People can see Jesus in you. And they can come to you and inquire, so who is this Jesus that you believe in? Who is this man that you say that has saved you from all sin? Who is this man that you say is a healer? Who is this God that you talk about as good all the time? We shine here. The Bible says that we will shine forever. That light will not ever go dim. And the Bible says, those were wise. And yes, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? And we have that wisdom. We have access to the wisdom of God because we fear him. He gives it to us. It's his word. And it leads us to shine forth his image. And I pray and I hope that all of us are challenged to shine in Jesus every day. And I know sometimes you wake up and you're thinking, I just don't want to do anything. I just want to sit here and do nothing. And we should never lose any moment to be shining the glory of God, because we have that opportunity every day, all the time. We should never miss it. We have that privilege. The Bible says that we have that privilege as vessels of earth in 2 Corinthians. Imagine all of this is earth, right? We are made out of soil and water. And then God gives us His breath, His eternity. And the privilege is for us, even in this earthen vessels, to shine forth His glory. Now that's the one thing that God does that a lot of people struggle to understand and to even comprehend. When you have something of value, let me ask you, you have something of value, do you keep it in a pot? Do you keep it in a pot? You have this precious metal. You have this amount of money. You have whatever it is that is the most of value to you. You have land titles. Do you keep them in a pot? No, you don't do that. That would be so unwise. Now think about it. God puts His treasure, His light, His truth, His image on earthen vessels. And you're thinking, obviously, what a privilege that we earthen people can be able to be lit and to be used to draw many to the light. And the Bible says that we will shine forever. Who doesn't want to shine? Is anyone here that does not want to shine? We want to be of influence. We want to, the Bible says in Daniel 11, that we want to do great exploits for the kingdom. And all of us have that desire. We're thinking, God, cause us to be effective and to be as fruitful as possible. We want to harvest as much fruit as possible for you. And God says, I've given you the opportunity. You've asked the right thing, so you go forth and shine. You go out in all the world and make disciples of all nations, drawing them to the truth, teaching them all my ways, Jesus said, baptizing them, and showing them the way to heaven. We have that privilege. And if you ever think, God, what do you want me to do? You ever ask God that? Do you ever ask God that? Oh God, what do you want me to do? You know you already have the answer? He says, shine forth. Right? Shine forth my truth. Show everyone who I am. I want people to see me through you. What a privilege. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives a number of parables, and there's one of the wheat and tares. And he says, there's this man, this farmer, who goes out to sow wheat. And the wheat started springing up. It's growing. But there was this weed called the tares that are growing along. If you've done some farming, especially with cereals, rice, wheat, there are these weeds that look exactly like the millet or the wheat or the sorghum. And you're thinking, how can this be? All I planted was wheat. And there's this weed that grows and it looks exactly like millet or wheat or sorghum or rice. And you're thinking, hey, sometimes you actually can't differentiate until the time of harvest comes. And the servant said, Master, we see some tares growing. Can we pull them out? Master said, no, don't. At one point, there's going to be a difference between the wheat and the tares. And at that point, I, the farmer, the master farmer, are going to take my wheat and burn away the tares. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 38, 43, the field is the world. God is sowing His word in the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That's us who have given our lives to Jesus. But the tares are the sons of the wicked ones. Whenever God's people gather, there's always a tear. Last week, somebody sneaked in and smartly was able to carry away somebody's iPad. And this happens all the time. They come like they're coming to church. Maybe they are here today. Are you here today? Maybe you've come in and you've lost something. There are always those sons of the wicked ones coming along, I'd be thinking, what business do they have here? Do you ever wonder? God, just help us weed them out. But there's going to be a time when God sorts them out. Says the sons of the wicked ones are the ones, they're tares. Outwardly, you cannot separate the Christians from the non-Christians, can you? The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom. All things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be a time, and this is the time actually, that God separates his true children from the wolves. And then in verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Amen? We will shine forth brighter than the sun. In fact, the Bible describes that heaven will not need the sun. There will not be any need for any planet to give us light, because God himself is going to be the light in his kingdom and us a reflection of that light. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Do we have ears? So let's hear. Let's keep shining. The last part is verse 4 to verse 13. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on the other side of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of this wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And they said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,390 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of your days. So the last bit is Daniel asking two questions. How long will this take? And God, just help me understand. Now tell you what, if God revealed such an amount of vision to you, you obviously need his help to understand it, right? And Daniel was in such a place. God, I am so overwhelmed with all of this. How long is this going to last? Is it one day? Is it 10 days? Is it 100 days? Now, Daniel is actually not going to live to see any of these. Interestingly, he knew that this was way into the future, probably, and is thinking, so God, I may not live to see these things happen, but help me, tell me, how long will this last? And God tells him, this is the last 3.5 years. You don't have to worry about that, Daniel. It is already established. It is sealed up. So what you need to do, Daniel, write these things down, because they are established. And this refers to the time of the end. This is a long way ahead of you, Daniel. You just be quiet, write these things down, and pass it on. And we have this record for our wisdom. And he says, and I had, I did not understand. Then I asked my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? All right, God, this is a long way ahead of me. So what? I mean, tell me more. He's inquisitive. Anyone of us would be inquisitive. God, just tell me more. My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? I mean, how are all these things going to come out? I mean, God, this is too far for me and too hard for me to understand. And God said, you know what, Daniel, you be quiet, go home. How do you like that? Does God often tell you that? You ask him question and he says, you know what, you be quiet, you go away. Go home. Go take a nap. You go have a meal. All right? Go attend to your job. But it says a few things that we need to take a note of here. You know, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. These things are established. They're going to happen. And we've seen part of it happen in history. We're seeing an unfolding of some right in the day that we live in. And this is, many shall be purified and many made white and many refined. That's encouraging. When you hear and you read about the judgment of God, and when we see wickedness all over the place, it can get very discouraging. When we see injustice, when we see corruption, when we see poverty, when we see famine and drought and suffering, when we see cancer multiply like a wildfire, it's very disheartening. It's very troubling. It's very depressing. But God says something very encouraging. Many shall be made white. Much as we see wickedness all over the place, the influence of our righteous Father is still multiplying. We just don't see it sometimes. But there are many coming to Christ, even in the wildest country ever. Many are being made white by Jesus. In fact, in places that Christians are not allowed to preach, Jesus himself is there saving many. Many are going to be refined. That's purified. And God is in this business of purifying us. We walk around and quite often we get impure. We get our hands dirty. We get our minds unclean. And God is purifying us for his eternity. Amen? And most of the time, if not all the time, it is through what? How does God refine us? Through pain and suffering. Amen? Amen? Some of you are like, no, not amen, Pastor. God purifies us and teaches us righteousness through pain and through suffering. And the people who are going to go through the great tribulation, the believers, these are going to be solid Christians. These are people you will hear say, you know what, you kill me if you want. I am not denouncing Christ. And they're refined by persecution. In fact, a persecuted church is a pure church. When the church is persecuted either by government or by culture or by anything, then the light of the gospel shines. Because then you don't get any hypocrites coming in and going out. You don't get those people who are like, this is too hot, let me go back. You only get those who really love the Lord. And that's what the early church was. And it's interesting that in our day, we campaign for rights and freedoms. Right? As a Christian, our rights and freedoms may be taken away from us as a form of persecution. And tell you what, it doesn't matter. We have heaven to inherit. There are those, even right now, they are engaging our government, to make policies regarding, you know, Christians and non-Christians and false teachers and non-false teachers. And they are lobbying for a separation of the sheep and the goats. And those are good things to desire. You're thinking, God, help us separate your true ones and the false ones by law, right? In some places, they are actually religious courts. that you can sue a pastor if they fleeced you. You can take him to court and say, this man told me that if he prays for me, I'll be healed. And he charged me $500,000. And he prayed for me and he's a liar. I'm not healed yet, so I want my money back. There are places that have religious courts and you will actually be given back your money. And there are people who want that here. That is going to be tricky. It may not happen. But the one thing that will always happen is God refines and purifies his own. Amen? If you belong to Jesus, he will set you apart. He will make you white. He will refine you. Set you apart for heaven. On the other hand, he says, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Much as there's going to be a rise of righteousness, of purity, there's going to be a rise of wickedness. So as righteousness rises, wickedness is also on the rise. The wicked are continuously doing wickedly. And you can testify of that, can't you? But they will not understand anything, much as everything is clear to them. Much as eternity is something they can simply understand because of their wickedness, they are blinded. They are lost in their sinfulness. Only the righteous are given wisdom to understand. Now that does not mean that God is being unfair to some and being fair to the others. God loves everyone. The Bible says everybody is invited to his kingdom. There's a part in heaven and he says, everyone, you come. But there are those who are going to say, no, we don't want to come. And he's going to be saying to them, it's okay, you can stay. But you need to know that that is a distraction that you're campaigning for. And from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation, we've seen that Daniel has given an answer there. Daniel is going to be 3.5 years. This says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. He says, there are those who are going to endure persecution through that last phase of the great tribulation. And the Bible calls them blessed. And you're thinking, I have a completely different definition of blessed, don't we? We know that when we are blessed, oh, everything is good. I have food, I have insurance, you know, I have everything covered. I have enough money for a few years, maybe for my entire life. I have enough money. I have enough land. I have a good business going on. I'm blessed. That's just one part of it. Here, God himself says, blessed are those who actually endure that persecution to the very end. Amen? Jesus said that blessed are those who endure persecution. Theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who endure through difficulties. So tell you what, when you are going through difficulties and God is refining you, you can smile all day and say, I am blessed. Amen? Just a few amen, right? Amen. Amen? We are blessed when God is progressively setting us apart to the very end. So summary of all this, a world ruler is ascending to the throne peacefully, but is going to be completely against God. A world religion is coming up, and this is based on Satanism. A world war is going to defeat that ruler. God is going to deliver all his believers, all his children, through the great tribulation. The second coming Jesus comes, the resurrection, and then the judgment. Christians to be rooted, non-Christians to be cast away. And for Daniel, you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and will arise to your inheritance at the very end of the days. Good news for you, Daniel. You just go home, mind your job, but you have something to inherit at the end of your life. We all have an inheritance. You may not have an inheritance from your father. In fact, you probably just inherited liabilities. Maybe your father or your grandfather just left you debts and bills to pay. Maybe you inherited nothing. By the time your parents passed on, zero. He sold off everything, squandered everything. And you're born into nothing, like you have nothing on this earth. And then you have to grow up and fight for your own. There are those who have so much inherit, and they are born and they are rich, right? They're born and they're millionaires. Automatically, they have millions of stuff to inherit. All those are earthly. The inheritance that Daniel is told about here is really the kingdom of God. Those things that are completely incorruptible, and each one of us has that inheritance. So maybe you inherit nothing, something, negatives, or a lot. Those all end here. On the other side, we have an inheritance that is everlasting. All of us. Daniel, you have an inheritance. Once your life ends here in Babylon, on this side, you have so much on the other side. In Psalm 37, verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for how long? Forever. Every man has a way to go. Daniel is told, you go your way. You go mind your business. Every man has an end. It's appointed for man to once die, and thereafter, judgment. Daniel is promised rest. There's rest provided for you and for me. In the middle of this troubled world, we are the only ones who enjoy his rest. What a privilege. There is an inheritance for you and me. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Ask to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the what? Inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You serve God who owns everything. And he promised that he went to prepare for us a place that we will go to live in. And that's the eternal inheritance that we all have. That's exciting. When Daniel was struggling with, oh God, how long is this going to last? Oh God, help me understand more. Well, God did help him understand, and God explained everything to him. But the one thing was supposed to know for him personally, this is a promise that God makes to every individual. You have rest and you have eternity to inherit. You have so much to enjoy on the other side. Amen? Amen. We're going to partake of communion as we look back to the fulfillment, the entirety of the fulfillment of God's promises. Jesus coming on the cross, coming to die on the cross, and giving us access to that inheritance. This was an inheritance, and this is an inheritance that was purchased by his blood, by his life. It is priceless. It is endless. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And we know this verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to look back at what Jesus did to guarantee our eternity. He died and he rose again. And we follow suit. He bought our righteousness, like we saw in the book of Daniel, that righteousness is going to radiate forever.
so much for washing away all our sins, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us freely your righteousness. Thank you so much for purchasing our freedom. Thank you so much for giving us your light. We have this privilege to shine for you, to be a source of direction for many. Lord, thank you so much for your garment of holiness and righteousness that you clothe us with, O God. It's not only for now, but for all eternity. Lord, thank you so much for the reward that you have for us. Thank you so much for all that we have to inherit. We can't even imagine how much it is that you have prepared for us. But may you lead us to continue shining, O God. May many see you in us. As we walk with them, as we talk with them, as we work with them, as we serve them. May your truth, your image, your wisdom, your goodness, your mercy and kindness be seen in each one of us as your children. In Jesus' name we pray.